Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
I didn't expect to come to this side.
I go left and right every time,
do
Ash.
You?
Just usually you sit on that side and Josh sits on that side.
That's not even
true. Though he's determined that he doesn't. Okay. Not going to matter to the audio people, but hello.
Hello.
I'm Josh Brown.
Hello.
Hello. Now, I don't know what made me think of this. I think I was doing some article or some video the other day about like weird sort of quandaries in games and whatever it was. Oh, it was, I did things when gaming got too real.
Yeah,
sort of like, you know, things like that. And I started thinking about all these weird sort of questions that are in games, like impossible quandaries, moralistic sort of choices, philosophical things that are just really fun to sort of get lost in or whatever. So we've pooled our resources, we put our brains together, and we've got something like 8 different, like really hard questions that have came from video games. Maybe a little bit more. And we might not get through all of them, but I'm just going to sort of put these out and we'll just talk through them because we're brainy, nerdy people and we can figure it all out. So don't worry.
SMRT.
So yeah, the first one is from The Walking Dead Season 1. Which is, I'm not going to mostly try and stay away from spoilers as well. I'm going to kind of present these questions in the abstract. And we did do a video ages ago called Video Games That Force You to Answer Impossible Questions on the main channel on YouTube if you want to go and check that out. But yes, the first one kind of comes from The Walking Dead Season 1, which I think both of you guys played anyway.
Yes.
But there is the bit where you have to go and take some food. You come across this car that's full of a bit of food and you've got kind of, you know, you and your platoon. And it's like, do we leave the food? Nice, lovely little bit of food that could sustain us. Or do we leave it for the people that are going to be assumedly coming back to the car? What would you guys do in that scenario? It's an apocalypse. Do you take someone else's food? Do you prioritize yourself over anybody else?
Take the food and go.
Good Lord, Ash.
Take the food and go.
You've answered it yourself. You said it's an apocalypse. Mm. You take the food and go. You've got mouths to feed. It's not just you. You've got a couple of friends. You've got a small child.
Mm.
They might have a small child, but you know what? I don't know that for sure.
I don't
care. It's not Clementine, is it?
There is no empirical evidence to suggest that that is a family at that moment in time. So
the amount of food does.
Yeah, and also that it's a family car.
It's the post-apocalypse, so maybe it's a brand new band of scavengers who have stolen a family car and are pretending to be a nice, wholesome family, and then are just gathering all the food that they steal off the people they kill. You don't know that that is not the case at the time.
This literally sounds like we've stolen the food and you're trying to justify it. We didn't know it was a family. It could be one large man. True, you're only dooming one life. I would say that I think I would also take the food because I think that I want to live a bit longer. And as we'll get to in one of these later questions, I always prioritize the things that I love,
right?
Not the randoms that I don't.
I suppose the other question is, what did you do in the game? Because when you're in, I think your decisions in a video game are kind of different from what you would do in real life. Because in a video game, in that situation, I'm thinking, ooh, how is this going to come back and bite me in the butt later on down the road? Or what would, you know, I ideally do in this
what
situation.
What would Lee do?
What would Lee do if I was like a really good person on the inside, which I am not when it comes to that situation.
That's always the thing.
Stealing it.
In games, because it's always like, do you do what you would do, or do you try and live the role of the character that they've given you? I always think that games struggle with that stuff, because if they've set a character up well, for me, I can only really make a decision as me, like, you know, quote unquote, like the real me, if it's like a blank slate avatar, if I can kind of project myself into it, or if it's a customizable character. Usually if it's someone like in GTA 4 with Nico, I was always like, well, what would Nico do? It makes sense to take out this enemy that he has or whatever, as opposed to like if it was me and someone was dangling off a ledge of a building, I'd probably help them back up.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I always think that games kind of go back and forward on that stuff.
Yeah.
But do you think that, like, did that influence you in the game too?
In the game, I debated over for ages. I was like, should I leave it, should I not? The thing is, what you would do in an ideal situation is you wouldn't take all the food, you take some and leave them enough behind. Like you take half their food or something, like you take enough to keep
slice
you going.
Of tomato and half.
Yeah, exactly. So like that would be the realistic way around, rather than take all or take like not. So that would be probably my real life caveat. Mm-hmm. But like, when it comes to games, it's like you say, it's like you want to be able to play a character that you wouldn't normally be, though, I think, as well. So there's like a, like aspects of me that I might want to like play out, like be an absolute dirkhead the whole time. Or
you got a cute PC. Yeah. We're on YouTube.
Yeah, a dirkhead. Or be real, real nice, because I'm not real, real nice. So like, I get to have the whole angelic side. Be like, oh, what happens if you're nice to everyone? So yeah, I try to go off my own decisions, but then sometimes if I'm like a little bit curious, I'll have a little.
See, I don't like I said, I'm going to stay mainly away from spoilers for more recent games, but I think for The Walking Dead, it's keeping it sort of slightly vague. I don't know what the game does if you leave the food, because that does play back into something.
You have to take it. I think someone else goes, Lee, you idiot, you're not looking after us.
This is going to matter later, so yeah. You should probably take it. Fair enough. The next one down is Horizon Zero Dawn. Now, this only came out a couple of years ago, and this sort of question is genuinely my favorite question that gaming has ever posed, and I had it at number one on the top of that Gaming's Got Real list thing. But for people who haven't played through all of Horizon Zero Dawn, mainly Ashley Milmar, I'm going to talk around this thing. But mainly, it's the sort of general sort of idea of how much can we be trusted with our own past, about passing on the knowledge of what went before. Mm. The idea that, you know, say you had the, nebulous sort of scenario. You're giving a new civilization access to all the knowledge of everything that came before. Do you do that or do you hold back? Because the general sort of question is, can we trust a fresh humanity, a fresh sort of civilization with all the knowledge of went before? Assuming that they'll learn from the mistakes of the past, or will they just replicate them? Have you just given them the ability to make firearms or make nuclear bombs? Or they're just, you know, saying like, oh, by the way, we know that fire's hot. Do they then go and make fire? Or do they know to stay away from it?
Well,
how much do we trust ourselves?
That's quite a good analogy there, because even though someone tells you that fire is hot, you still put your hand on the stove
exactly.
Or touch the oven like I used to do as a kid all the time because I just wanted my chicken nuggets in time.
Yeah,
but like exactly so if you get...
Hold on, sorry. Why were you cooking chicken nuggets on a fire?
Yeah, you weirdo.
No, in the oven, I said. In my oven.
In the oven.
Stop touching the outside of the oven, Josh.
No, I want to put my head like, just go inside and just take them out. Anyway, this is not the moral point of whether
it's
or not,
not
I'm going to eat the chicken.
Josh's impossible question.
What I was trying to say is, even if someone tells you that something is hot, something is dangerous, unless you have first-hand sort of like an account of it, you're probably going to replicate it just because, you know, who are these idiots who tried it before? Yeah. They must have been dead and wiped out for a reason.
Oh, yeah. They don't have any nuggets.
They've got no nuggets.
I have these nuggets right here.
I think it's a tricky one because it's on the assumption that kind of history and what you're inheriting is kind of objective truth in the first place, which is probably not true. It's probably got its own agenda and biases that you're not privy to. And I feel like that is just kind of volatile in the wrong hands. If you give it to a new civilization, how they interpret that text and how they, you know, deal with those issues without the first-hand experience
even
of them.
Even if you remove that, because there is, like, yeah, the whole history is written by the victors and that can, like, shape different things and whatever. Even if you go down just, here's a list of things that happen. Here is how to build, how to make buildings, how
just
to make
like objectively.
Roadways. Yeah, like, you know, here is how to, like, establish commerce and, like, how, like, this is what currency was and, like, whatever. And this is how we kind of did it. Like, those things, that, like, you know, file of information, like, is that something that is more... like, is it better that humanity starts afresh?
I don't know. This seems quite... I feel like this is quite an easy question because, like, knowledge is power, baby. So, like...
What if that knowledge is a bomb?
Yeah, but...
Ash, what if it was a bomb?
An actual bomb.
Oh, my God. But the thing is, it's not like you're just going, ah, here's a recipe for bomb making. You're going...
Well,
oh,
you
this is that what you do? Do you not
everything.
Just... Yeah, but you'd go, look at all these times bombs were bad.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like
But they've
bombs.
Never tried one before, so they'd have to go out, like, in using Josh's analogy, they'd have to go make one themselves.
But would it not be better for them to have a controlled experience of what a bomb is and be able to utilize that knowledge and go, okay, well, what this says is true, we can then learn from it and build upon it further.
Theory, but,
then,
yeah.
We're all talking theory here. But,
go on.
I don't know, I just think... It is good to share knowledge. I think that's how civilization gets further than it has been before. If you don't give them anything, they can only get to the certain point that we've already reached, and it might go in a completely different, more volatile, crazier reaction than before. I get the whole thing that, like, giving someone the recipe for a bomb would be bad.
A really big bomb.
Because it's like...
the biggest bomb, man.
You've never seen it.
It's like Fight Club. I think before they cut it, there was actually so much information in there that it could teach you how to make homemade bombs. So they had to, like, cut it so that it wasn't quite as explicit in how to blow people up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't think the general public would be benefiting from having that information. So it's like that. It's like censored knowledge. Again, in the real world, you'd give censored knowledge, wouldn't you? You'd
balance it. Well, that's the question, right? Like, that's the thing. It's like, do you give, like, a fresh trash version of humanity, all these things, all the good with all the bad, trusting human nature to not delve into the bad stuff and learn from the mistakes? Or do we just need to be saved from ourselves?
It's such a tricky one, man, because like I suppose humanity itself is like culture and history and knowledge and all that stuff that you pass down throughout, like you know, from your parents, your grandparents and your ancestors and stuff like that. But then the kind of idea in this context of Horizon Zero Dawn of kind of like starting afresh, having like a clean break, that's kind of tantalizing to see what would happen, you know, after that if you didn't have all of this, you know. It's the same world you kind of like grew up in, but it's different because there's robot dinosaurs all over the place and not everyone knows what, you know, why they're there, what they are. It's sort of a different environment and yet still familiar. So you would imagine that things would branch off in totally different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of exciting to see where that would go without the burden of, you know, everything being explained.
My thing as well is that, because I remember Ricky Gervais said this, and it's just like that idea that like, if you like in this scenario, all the religions would go away because all those original texts would go away if they didn't get passed on, but all the scientific facts would remain the same because all the tests would turn out the same. Whereas like all the religions would...
They'd make a new religion, surely?
Exactly, yeah. So, well, yeah, if humanity chose to think that way again, but like, yeah, assumedly they would. But I think like that's like an interesting thing. Like that would be a way to sort of wipe the religious slate clean, but then all the fact-based stuff remains or comes back or whatever.
Ooh, I don't know. I think we're inherently idealistic and you got to say, look, this is what all of this was. Be better. Like, I don't know. I think you would definitely give them the information.
I think you have way more faith in human nature than I do.
Well, I don't know, but if I gave you a recipe for a bomb, would you go and make one? Like...
I wouldn't, but I think that
most people wouldn't.
I think human curiosity would.
Human curiosity would win out, especially in like a more underdeveloped society or whatever. If you're starting off fresh, like a fresh group of humans being like, here's all these tools. But I just think they would learn quicker. I think they'd make some the same mistakes, but they'd learn quicker from them because they'd have a guideline to go by. Mm-hmm. I just think if you want civilization to get further, if you want humanity to get further and do different things, then you've got to give them the info. It's like if aliens came down and gave us everything, like we're talking like a rival level, like give us all this access to space and time and all that sort of
really
thing.
Giant
like,
bomb.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like a big giant bomb. If they came in and gave us all of this stuff, the rate that we'd progress and what we could do with it is like infinitesimal.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And giving that opportunity to someone else, another society, as well as all the bad things that went wrong and say, don't do this one at least. Then I don't know. I just think that's interesting.
No, if it's me, I totally come down on the same side. Mm. I think that we benefit from the obviously the like learning from the mistakes of the past. I just the way that it's presented in Horizon when you finally get to that point and whatever, it's just that idea that we can't be trusted with our own mistakes.
Yeah.
And that maybe the only way to like I use the nuclear bomb example. Maybe the only way to remove the knowledge of what the nuclear bomb was to completely delete it, and then like you wait X amount of time until someone stumbles upon that formula again.
Yeah.
And that grace period is like worth everything being removed or whatever.
I would do an option that isn't in the game.
Here he
I
is.
Would siphon off all of the core information, put them in key texts, otherwise known as tombs, and I would put them in a cave, and I would make an Indiana Jones-esque series of challenges that you have to overcome to get the texts, and then whoever gets it has the right to do with that information whatever they want.
Oh, but God, they've got to be you're making tyrants.
I'm making skilled adventurers.
You're making Assassin's Creed. That's Assassin's Creed. That's Assassin's Creed lore.
Well, if it's Josh. If it's good for Assassin's Creed, it's good for me.
It could work. Josh, what's your final thoughts on what you would do?
I would not like the knowledge. To be the one making this decision because it sounds really hard. Ash has made some really good points, and I do think that in a real, like, in an ideal situation, that would be the best, you know. Mm-hmm. The best outcome for it, but I do not trust humanity as a whole, especially the humanity in Horizon Zero Dawn, who have kind of gone off the rails, and a lot of like the tribes are really, really bad to inherit that.
Is that not because they didn't have cool stuff though?
I don't think so. I think that's like a comment on human nature, and that people are maybe not.
Maybe
good.
If they knew to butter toast, they'd calm the hell down.
Well, you're right, but what if the toast was a bomb, Scott?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
You need a knife to butter toast.
Well, assuming they'll figure out the knife, but they don't know how to slice the good stuff to make the good breakfast.
Slice the bomb!
Slice the nukes. But yeah, these are all open-ask questions that you guys can let us know what you think down in the comments below.
Open-ask
questions. Open-cheek questions.
Close it.
Or can find us on social media as well. But next one down is, this is more particular, we can do this one a bit quicker because it's more specific for Game of Thrones fans to give it the sort of resonant weight that it needs. In the Game of Thrones game, the Telltale one at the very beginning, you play as the Forrester family, this new family, and Ramsay Bolton comes in to check in on you, and anyone who knows Game of Thrones knows that Ramsay Bolton is one of the most immaculate flecks of excrement in the history of entertainment. And so in the game, you know, they have him sort of like dominating the room that he's in, and you can have conversations with him, and he starts to abuse, and I think he actually like gets quite physically violent with your sister.
Yeah.
And you can choose whether or not to step in or not. That's pretty much the question, is like knowing what Ramsay Bolton is, knowing that you're going up against this force that will have repercussions for your family and everything else, would you still step in and defend against the bully? I would. But I might kill myself.
Ash is looking, you know, she's like, whoa, she's just like, what's
let
going
them
on?
Die.
No, you can tell me your opinions.
but yeah, well, mine would be that. I would totally step in and I would save the person, even though I would then lose legs and stuff.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because obviously we have knowledge of who Ramsay Bolton is. Or if you watch the show or read the books, you sort of know who Ramsay Bolton is and how horrible he is. But also that makes me want to do it more because I know how much of a dick he is in that show. So any little one-up against him, any little sort of act of aggression or act of defiance, I want to take, even
That's
though I probably
game,
will
yeah.
get absolutely butchered for it in yeah. the long run and it won't, you know, reflect well. I feel like, you know, stand up to bullies in that situation. And who, you know, the Foresters, they're made for the game. Are they?
Oh, yeah, they're new.
Yeah, they're new, made for the game. Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't have a true investment in that family. So use them to, you know, rebel against... the bolt.
Considering the power structures as they are in Game of Thrones, and we know that like people can get killed left, right, and center for just doing one thing wrong, it's way harder to go up against Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
But like, because you are nigh on dooming your own family, like your entire bloodline and everything, which is maybe where Ash comes in.
I think we should stand up to Ramsay Bolton, yeah. but surely it's not better to bide your time because you like he's your master or whatever in this scenario.
That's a good word.
He's like your overseer or whatever, and you're there just being like, oh yes, I'm a little boy. And I don't know. It might be better to wait until you've got more power. Like he's going to do that whether you want him to or not, because he's Ramsay Bolton. He's going to do whatever the hell he likes. Mm-hmm. So it might be better to take it all in and go right. I'm going to get you back, Ramsay. And I will not lose my leg right now, but later you shall feel the sting of my wrath.
Like. You're right, Ash. I've been brought round to this because
good Lord.
Galaxy Brain, the smartest people in Game of Thrones, they always bit their tongue and waited for the right moment.
Then they
pounce.
Got killed.
No. Some people did. Cersei, for instance.
Right.
She was really good at this. She was really good at sort of biding her time and sort of taking the punishment and then striking when she knew she could absolutely decimate her enemies. And I feel like in the world of Game of Thrones, it would probably be smarter to sort of take a step back here so then you can attack later on more smartly further on down the line.
See, that would be my opinion in the game. Yes. In real life, I'd be like, hell no, get off my sister. Like, I'd be like, no, Ramsay, and go after him. But,
also, in that game, I think Ethan Forrester, I think, is the dude who plays. He does get stabbed by Ramsay Bolton regardless of what you do. He just comes straight up to you and gives you the old shiv. So it's, you know, you try to do well.
It's very intense. That I was very shocked.
Wasn't it? I know.
I was like, oh, well, as soon as it happened, I was like, ah! Oh! I was like, oh, it's Game of Thrones. Yeah,
like, yeah, I thought that. And I was like, but we spent all this whole first chapter with him, but I guess it doesn't matter. And the next one down is initially from The Last of Us, but is also in Spider-Man, although you don't get a direct, well, you don't get that much of a choice in The Last of Us, but at least it's in-game kind of thing. More of a cutscene in Spider-Man. But the question boils down to just, would you save one person you love over millions that you don't? The thing from The Last of Us is that Joel decides to save Ellie at the detriment of her potentially providing a cure to cure the rest of the world. In Spider-Man, it's the difference between Aunt May and the rest of New York and how that goes down. But yeah, that's the core question. I would totally always save the person I love. I don't care about millions of people I don't know.
I think this is a funny one.
Go on.
Because you've grouped these two together for obvious reasons. Yes, it's a real belly churner, belly
leg slapper.
Leg slapper, belly slapper.
Belly
well, I just
mover.
Slapping belly
it's a big
thighs.
Laughing
We're recording
slapper.
This at 3 p.m. So.
I think these questions are subtly very different.
Bring it.
Because in Spider-Man, when Aunt May's on her deathbed, he knows that the cure will work and will cure everyone else. So it's kind of, you know, he is directly dooming the entire like population of New York at this point by if he saves Aunt May, which is a kind of horrible choice, but in that situation probably the only morally correct one. In The Last of Us, I think, even though I still do think Joel is kind of a villain, I even did a
oh he's
a
totally
video
meant to
that.
Be
yeah he's totally meant to be a villain. I feel like it's left more ambiguous. There are hints that, you know, it might not work anyway. They don't give Ellie, you know, the choice herself. They don't wake her up and be like, oi Ellie, this is your head, do you want to die for like the rest of the world? Whereas Aunt May, sort of, she's cognizant at the time, she's awake, she tells Peter like kind of what he needs
to do. I thought Ellie at the end said that she was like, oh no, it's my time and it was my choice and I was ready to to go.
Is there in The Last of Us, am I making this up, or is there, there's a bit where they say there's loads of other people that have died from tests as well?
It's definitely
him. Which they don't tell her about.
Oh, Joel definitely says that to Ellie as a way to convince her that it wasn't going to go forward anyway.
Mm-hmm. I just thought that there was like a bit where they were like, oh, we've tried this on other people and they've all died. But that might just be me.
That's definitely what Joel tells Ellie, but I don't know how much like truth there is. But even in the abstract, like that idea of like, yeah, would you prioritize someone you love that you've like been with for some considerable amount of time over the populace?
It is in the detail. The devil's in the details.
Go on.
Because it is absolutely right there. It's whether you doom a whole populace for certain that you'll save your loved one, or vice versa, for certain that you'll save the people.
Let's just say it's definitely for certain.
It's definitely for certain. Okay, well.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Because the whole point of the question is whether the like I said, the love, the relationship with one person is worth more, quote unquote, than millions of people that you don't know. It's just that idea of breaking down like human worth.
I don't know. Again, morally, you should say, yeah, I'll save everyone, but like it depends on who's on the line, you know what I mean? Like,
because I remember I had this conversation with my wife, and I mentioned this in the voiceover, but we both talked about this, and she was like, I wouldn't save you, I would save the world. And I was like, well, I would save you, so good. Glad we got married then.
Thank you. Put this in my vows.
I know, just sort of like, well, at least I know where I stand. I'll go and get on the surgery table then.
I think, you know, maybe this is me self-aggrandizing myself and making myself out to be the hero. I think I could sacrifice the person I love the most.
Really?
If it's guaranteed to save everyone else. We had a nice one-to-one conversation about it, and they were like, yep, you know what? Do it, Josh.
What if they were like, please save me, I don't want to die? Like,
oh, if you were like, please save me, I don't want to die, then
you'd give right in.
I'd give in to the peer pressure, and I'd have a cigarette, and I'd be like, oh, God, I don't want to do this, but also I'll save you.
And then it's just you and that one person, like the end of Inception for the rest of time.
A little bit. Yeah. Oh, man, that's hard, actually. Ooh. This is way harder.
I know that's the thing. Obviously, you need to go with the whole idea that it will definitely work. If there's any sort of gray area, then it doesn't necessarily work as a question.
I'm stressed. I don't like this question.
Yeah. Breaking it down game by game, I would do what Peter Parker does in Spider-Man, and I'd also do what Joel does in The Last of Us. That's my final answer, I think. I would save Ellie if I was in Joel's position.
You pick the person you love?
No, it's Spider-Man.
Oh, no, yeah. I guess with The Last of Us.
What about Life is Strange? Because that's another one that plays on the same thing. What would you do in that? What did you do in that?
I didn't get that far through. I know the choice, the whole choose the bay or your friend or whatever.
Bay or bay.
Mine's always going to be the person that I love. Because it depends. In that one, you're closer with the people, other multiple people that you know in the bay or whatever, as opposed to in The Last of Us or Spidey, where the random populace is meant to be more like nebulous and meant to be more like just a group of lives versus one life. For me, that's always the core of the question. Like, obviously, there are granularities to it, but for me, it's, person you love, millions that you don't. You don't have to pick one. It can just be a big, all impossible question.
I think generally, I don't know.
Cool.
I feel like I should say that I'd save everyone, but I don't know. Until I'm actually faced with like, well, I put a knife in us. Like, I wouldn't actually know. Like,
well, that's also true.
It's like,
what have you got to do? Like, in sort of, you know, Aunt May's situation, you've got like the vial, you can plug it in, but you're not like, you're killing her by not doing something, but you're not stabbing the knife in. Whereas I feel like if it was sort of Ellie, like...
In Ellie, you just need to step away and it'll happen.
You walking around you being there while someone else is like cutting her head open and getting
stuff
off.
You'll be in the room.
I know, but you just know what's going on, don't you? You know what I mean? Whereas you can be there with Aunt May, where you can't be there with Ellie while there's horrific things happening. There's like, the devil's in the details, and I don't like them. because they make you feel upset.
I think we leave this as an open thing. People on the video side can let us know down in the comments, or you can come find us on social media if you're listening on audio stuff.
Oh, God.
Because this is one big awkward question. Yeah. But I would also stress that it should be taken in the abstract. You should take it, like, the games are a good way to get to this question, but the core of the question is one person you love, one individual, versus millions that you don't. That's the question.
Millions I don't. Millions I don't.
Interesting.
I think I'd have to go with millions, you know. I'd have to.
That's millions of lives on your consciousness there.
But is that going to make you feel better when you're sitting at home without the loved one?
If they're all really horrible, then I'd pick
one of them. You're saving all the bad ones as well. I'd rather take one really good one.
I'd get a really bad God complex if I save millions of people. That I'd be like, you owe your lives to me.
You'd be walking around on free McDonald's for the rest of my life. Fair enough. Next one down is Heavy Rain, which is kind of like a modification on this question, because there's the bit at the beginning of Heavy Rain and where one of Ethan's first, I think he's called Ethan. Yeah, Ethan's first test.
Loads of Ethan's today.
Isn't he called Ethan?
He is.
Ethan
Mars.
One of his first tests is to sever one of his fingers to prove his love for the child that he's trying to save. So it's literally that. It's would you sever one of your limbs? One of your fingers.
Limbs?
Sorry. Digits. We'll get to limbs later. sever one of your DJs to save a child.
Can I pick which one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Pinky gone.
I think he gets to pick which
one
in the
game. Wait, a child or a child I know?
A child you know.
Okay. A random one, no?
I'll discard the randoms again.
Actually, shouldn't matter. They're all good children, man.
They're not. Have you been to the Metro Centre in Gateshead? Yeah,
They're not good children.
No, they're horrific. Yeah, I'd rather, I'll cut off all the limbs to get rid of them. But I think it's that thing of like, I think in the game he picks a particular finger. I think he gets rid of like his pinky. Not that it necessarily matters, but...
If it's one of the end two, if it's the ring finger or the pinky.
I love that you're ranking by finger.
Yeah, no, if it's thumb, no way. Like, if it's pointer finger, no way. Middle one, debatable whether I like them or not. Mm. And the last two, go on, they can go.
You probably live without your pinky, or the end of your pinky.
Those two, absolutely gone. Ring finger, pinky, fine. Whatever kid it is, save him.
I have a feeling that the one he does is like the Assassin's Creed finger. I think he gets rid of the ring finger.
I remember, actually.
I don't remember. I mean, this is all outside the point. Would you guys get rid of a digit to save a child?
Another classic one of, I would like to say, yes, I'd get rid of it easily. I'll just chop it straight off. But in the moment, because I'm so squeamish and I'm even scared of needles, could I bring myself to chop off any part of my body, even if I had to? Even in a life or death situation, it's kind of like, you know, when you're watching the Saw movies and you sort of think, I could do that easy. Mm. But you couldn't, could you?
No, when you watch the Saw movie thinking I could do that easy?
Well, you know,
when his foot's coming off, I was like, go on.
Snap it off, man.
I'll do the other one as well. Well, you know what I mean? When you're in one of those situations, you like to think you could do it, no problem, because you like to think you've got the courage and the bravery to do what needs to be done to save someone or save yourself. Mm. I don't think I could. I don't think I've got what it takes.
I think the specifics of what I said, like, where it's like you think about the utility of those specific fingers, like thumb, index finger, pointy finger, they're all very important fingers. Whereas like the little pinky and the ring finger,
I don't use them.
Get rid of the tips of them, it's fine.
I just blend makeup with them sometimes. That's about it. Like I can use a brush.
Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath cut all of his fingertips off in a thresher when he was a kid, and he'd play guitar really. He's got little plastic bits put on.
There's one big thing that you guys just don't seem to be questioning here. It's not which finger goes, it's the process of getting those fingers off.
If it's a clean cut, machete it off, fine.
Yeah.
Or if it's like slowly like 127 hours it and rip through the like nerves and stuff.
Gerald's game, you know, when she's
degloving.
No, it's the one from it was in the game because you get to pick what you want to use. I don't know what the cleanest option is. There is a blade, but there's also a crowbar. There's like a thing where he like jabs it. The bit on the end where he like jabs his finger in.
How can you do that one-handed?
Not the curved bit.
I'd literally smack my whole hand trying to do it with a crowbar.
Whack the finger off. There's totally a thing where he uses like a bar with like a point on the end of it, and he like jabs it down to get rid of the tip, but that's the thing.
Would you remove your tip?
Would you remove your tip to save a child?
With a crowbar.
So that one's Heavy Rain. The other one that we put down, which is a massive one, is Fable 2, which is the split at the end of that game where you choose between wealth, love, or sacrifice. Wealth gives you 1,000,000 gold, so that's ostensibly your personal well-being. Love resurrects your family and your dog, and sacrifice brings back everyone who died in Lucian Spire, which is this massive sort of construct, this big prison type thing that this evil dude Lucian's been looking after for the entire game. Again, millions of innocents you haven't met.
They've got to stop this.
I know, it's your personal well-being, all the gold, your family and your dog, or the millions of people that you don't know.
Three-way tie.
Well, I can't remember Fable 2, so I'm going purely on the question.
Always here. Abstract,
and
baby, always
in
abstract.
In this abstract question, it's the dog. It's the dog. And my family is over an the extra world. Bonus, you know what I mean? But mainly just, for the dog.
You were just campaigning for saving the world before.
Yeah,
put a dog in.
Yeah, because the dog was part of the world before, where this is directly my dog. You
Good
know,
Lord.
I can choose... Listen, the dog's always going to get top billing when it comes to...
The dog's not going to last that long. It's only going to live for like another 5 years.
It's going to give me the comfort I need for those 5 years. How dare you? Mr. I would choose my loved one over the fate of millions two questions ago. Now coming at me for making the same choice.
No, I'm with you, but I'm with you on behalf of my family members, not the dog.
Well, I'll both.
You being in a completely abandoned
world. Dog's
world.
Not part of the family.
Yes. Well, I'm a cat
Are they
person,
not?
So
yes, I hate dogs.
They're better, to
I'd
be
like, well, go yeah, off with you. Go
it's
on.
Fine. It's more like a package deal. Like, I'm there for the family. If the dog gets there, then it's fine.
The dog gets there. All right, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? It depends what kind of breed it is. If it's one of those slavery ones, I'm probably not.
I'd go for money.
Yeah? No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
You're doing
it. No, in Fable 2, I had so much money. I was like, wow, this is needless. I'm already a millionaire. It's like wiping my ass, my $1 million. Like, wow, what's this? More money? I think it would have to be loved one in that situation because the spire, you know what? They're already gone. In that game, in that specific scenario, like, that sounds really horrible, actually. But, like, I don't.
Does it?
I feel like in that game, you're so close with your family and your dog. Like, that was the choice I always made. And I already had loads of money. In real life, if it's because it's saving people from an already happened fate, you know what I mean? It's not. It's bringing someone back from the dead. Mm-hmm. You'd always go for the personal option because it's supernatural. It's something that could never happen again. Whereas if it's stopping a bunch of people from dying or bringing them back, I think that's also a devil in the detail moment where I'd bring my loved ones back from the dead. Mm-hmm. But I think if it was like saving millions from a horrible fate, I would have to make a distinction, which is a really weird distinction to make. But I think that's the difference for me there. I'd also go for the loved one.
Fair enough. Josh? Johnny rich, mate?
Yeah, nah. Well, you know, Ash made a point. If you're rich, you can buy loads of dogs.
You can buy new loved ones.
Yeah, you can replace your dog.
You can buy a new village.
Now I'll be the loved ones, I think, in this situation. Mm. It makes sense. I feel like that's what I'd be fighting for in the first place if I was in Fable 2. Otherwise, I'm not fighting to be rich. Mm. You know what I mean?
I love it, like, this all, like, the dogs.
I was in that game. I was how much can I accrue, baby? Give me some
the whole, like, tie-in mobile thing.
Lizard.
Pub games all the way. I think in your scenario, it's like the family's lined up with the dog, and you see the dog, and you go, I'll do that. And then the family members don't even have to beg for anything. You're already in.
No, the dog's give me those puppy dog eyes, and then, yep, family members, come on, you can get it.
But the thing is, in the DLC, you get the dog back for free,
It's
baby.
True. That sort of kind of negates the whole point of the ending of the game, right? It was good to learn. Mine would also be the loved one, mainly because I want my loved ones and the dog if it's
you
a
know
dog
what?
Loved one.
I respect that you've stuck to this whole gimmick.
Yeah.
You know what? The gimmick of love.
The gimmick of love. The millions of randoms can go random off. I'm not bothered. Last one is Walking Dead Season 1. Now, I said we'd get back to something more than digits. What about severing limbs? There's a whole bit in the first game, Season 1 of The Walking Dead.
If I've been bit by a zombie, that one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So in the zombie thing, yes, if you get bitten by a zombie, would you then cut your entire limb off to stave the infection? Or do you just let it take its course because that's the context that you're in?
Every single time you cut the limb. Every single time. If you're going to die anyway, you might as well hack your arm off and see if you can survive.
In the moment when he gets rid of it, then when Lee severs his arm, they believe that's cured him, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So I guess for me, the abstract question is like, would you lose a limb under the guarantee that you'll be fine? Like the die anyway thing is almost ancillary because it's like, well, either you're losing a limb for the greater good or you're not kind of thing.
It's lose a limb or die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's doing the cutting though?
I think someone else cuts your arm off. You can get
some bloke with a crowbar. It's not what you want.
It just cuts the tip off.
Comes in. It depends how safe you want to be.
I think another caveat here. If someone
every
else
time.
Is doing, like, it's a lot to take in, right? You can't just throw a question like.
Can we all just sit down and say yes or no?
Do you want to cut your arm off? And I need more details. I need more facts. If it's someone else.
This is you on the surgery table.
Yes, it is. Come on, doctor. Help me out.
I need more facts.
I need more facts, son. If it's someone else doing it, yes, cut it clean off.
Okay.
If I'm in charge of the cutting, again, I think I'm too much of a wimp to actually go through with it. I'd like to say yes, get it away, because that's what I want to happen. Mm. But in that moment, can I do the 127 hours thing and just whack that baby off?
That's right. here.
It's up here. Take it off. Shoulder bit, which I don't think you can actually do as a human.
Well, now you have to crack your bone. You have to break your collarbone.
You have to at least crack your collarbone
and then whatever else is around there.
You've done horror videos.
You have to dislocate it, either dislocate it or crack a bone.
Okay.
And then cut through the cartilage and nerve system that goes there. Also, your lymph nodes are there, which is a prime time for infection, I've got to say.
Lymph nodes?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose my lymph nodes.
Oh, next time I ask for more facts and information, don't give me more facts and information.
This is what you get if you invite the, you know, the fact overlords. They'll tell you all the bad stuff too, which is true. What you want to know. We might as well end on one more just for the literal crack of it, which is the end of Mass Effect 3. Clearly one of the most divisive things ever or whatever. But at the end of that game sort of gives you a three-way decision between destruction, control, or synthesis. Big alien overlords called the Reapers are bearing down on humanity or civilization or whatever. And you as... General Shepard, Commander Shepard, gets to make a decision between one of the three things. Either you destroy them forevermore, the cycle will continue, but you'll get to destroy this current version. I point to Ash because she knows Mass Effect things.
Yes.
Well,
I mean, there's a potential for them to come back because everything does.
But you get to save this cycle, and they only come back every like 8,000 years or something. It's a long time.
Yeah.
So you either destroy the Reaper invasion, you learn to control them, where you sort of weirdly go inside them. Maybe you can use them for some sort of good or whatever, but you lose your
You become the cycle then.
Yeah, you become them. Or you do the synthesis ending, which is the one where you somehow merge synthetic and organic life into some weird monstrous hybrids, but everyone's cool with it. But what would you do? What did you do?
I picked destroy the first
time. I did as well, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought the idea of synergizing with the Reapers was, it felt weird, it felt icky, it felt odd, didn't want to do it, didn't want to trust them, because I mean, this Star Child's come out of nowhere and he's going, oh, you lad,
Howie, stick it in us.
Get me tip off. And he was like, he gave me these choices, which all seemed bad. So I was also thinking, am I being manipulated here? Am I going to, you know, join the Reapers and then, you know, end up doing their bidding? So I didn't want anything to do with them. I wanted to make sure they were all gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the destroy option for me was the only one. I thought, you know, blending synthetic with organic life without asking anyone was a, you know,
that
bit
was
above
insane.
My pay grade.
Actually,
you know what I mean?
I weirdly cared about the millions of people in that choice. I didn't want to, well, because I was just like, I couldn't visualize it. I was like, what does, like, if a robot signed next to a human, when that choice gets made, they just zip together? Like, I honestly couldn't fathom it. And they kind of got to it in the extended cult, but not really.
Ooh, I went straight for synthesis.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, the whole thing is, the Mass Effect series about destroying the Reapers. Yes, that is your mission. To not choose destroy is basically usurping the whole thing of what Shepard has been doing this whole time. But again, that's your prerogative. I chose to do synthesis because it's like the evolution of humanity. It's only at a certain point we can reach as fleshy sack bags.
That's what you think. They've discovered de-aging. Carry on.
And also, I'd made Edie and Joker bang the whole time. And I was like, I really want to see the evolution of this come into like little robot babies. But I don't know. I feel like AI technology. I also protected the Geth and saved that sort of thing. I was very much for AI being a sentient life form and having its own existence. And I feel like control wasn't that icky gross. Didn't want to be inside the Reapers. And then destroy was wiping out years and years of evolution and technology and things we'd work towards on like a on a futuristic level, like something, the mass relays and everything, all that sort of thing, have obviously come from big alien biomechanic things, which were basically combined things anyway. I just thought it was the right choice to make.
Interesting. I did the destroyer one because I kind of thought like, yeah, they're the big bads of the whole thing. And if we're doing contextually, then at that point I was so done with Mass Effect 3 anyway. So I was like,
burn it off.
Oh, yeah, just let me get out of here. Yeah. I hated it. And I hated that synthesis was even a thing. Like I said, I couldn't visualize. I just couldn't get it. I thought like, yeah, does it mean that babies are now born and they're half machine? I couldn't get it at all. So that was always my thing.
Funnily enough, I think this links to the very second question about Horizon Zero Dawn, because in the destroy ending, which Arch was, one of the perks of it was that no one has all this technology. You have to start from scratch again. Yeah, you kind of have the knowledge, but you don't have the means to build it.
Mm.
So it's not going to be for generations and generations down the line that you get back to that point. And for me, that was a nice little reset button, because you have you get the maintain the sense of culture and history of humanity and obviously the rest of the alien races. But also, you get a nice little reset button, and then you don't have to worry about this again for generations upon generations upon generations.
I mean, it remains one of like the most divisive and weird endings to any sort of major franchise anyway, but I think that's what makes it so like fun to talk about, even though the game itself has like a hell of a reputation at this point.
Can I add one more?
You can, but we're out of time.
Ashley or Caden?
Oh, it was Ash all the way, look.
Caden.
Didn't go with Caden.
Caden?
No one
what?
Went with Caden.
No one. That was a joke. That was a joke question. No one's supposed to go for Caden.
No one ever went with Caden. I saved Caden because... Ashley was a big space racist.
She was. I didn't realise that she was a space racist. Is not she space racy before you make the decision?
Huh? Yeah. She's a bit of a like xenophobe with stuff like
I know
with,
that,
with
but a, I don't
alien
remember.
Racist. So I was like, yeah, go on. You know what? Caden might be a weird creep, but like at least
yeah, at least he's not a mad racist. Yeah.
But then
boring creep.
I don't know. I feel like they both grow and change his character so much. But say I did both run throughs, one with Ashley and one with Caden, and Caden was such an annoying prick the whole time. I was like, please get off my ship. I didn't want to save
dead.
Either of you. Please get out of here.
Yeah, I think for me, because it was like I was younger and it's like, you know, young boy, I'm gonna save the girl. Yeah. That's all I care.
Oh, and we then, are weak and do need saving and everything.
It's true.
Thing,
and
you know?
Yeah, and like not, and even if you're racist, I don't care. I don't mind at all. I'd rather have that than a bland man. So I just,
he was
I went,
a bland man.
He was a bland man.
He's so, yeah. A yogurt boy.
Yeah. that's your full on take it to the comments question alongside all the weird death and philosophical stuff is whether you picked Ashley or Caden. But yeah, let us know what you think down the in the comments below if you're following on the video side, or can find us on social media if you're listening on any of the audio platforms. For now, though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Milne.
Goodbye.
And George Brown.
Goodbye.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, you said see ya?
See ya. When would it be ya?
Later.
Later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.